Well, welcome to worship on this beautiful day. We're here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a joy and privilege to be with you to do that this morning.
Last Wednesday at Cupertino Rotary Club, an 11th grade foreign exchange student from Ecuador told us about the things she learned while visiting the United States and attending Monta Vista High School last year. She said she learned many things. What a great nation we live in. What a beautiful county that we live in. The excitement about discovery with technology. And then she said something that took my breath away. She said she learned, don't just exist, be alive. And I thought that was very mature and an insightful discovery on her part. And then I began to think about how this relates to our Christian walk with God. This is what I came up with. Don't just exist, be alive with gratitude to God for His faithfulness to us in all of life's situations. Paul Tournier, a Christian physician from years gone by, said in his book, Guilt and Grace, what astonishes me is the prodigious, huge effect a real confession can have. Very often, it is not only is the decisive religious experience of freedom from guilt, but the sudden cure of a physical or psychological illness. Today, join with me as we prodigiously, hugely confess our sin of just existing instead of being alive with gratitude to God for His faithfulness to us in all situations. Lord, we confess this right now.
Will you pray with me, please? O Lord Almighty, lift us up in your presence, and let us feel you near as we assemble now for worship and we turn to your word. Calm our fears, open our minds, ready us to receive what you have to give us this day in the sermon, in the songs, and in silence. What we seek is courage and hope. We need them in a world so filled with trouble. Dangers lurk everywhere. Enemies abound. Violence and accidents and dread disease seem to pursue us like a pack of wolves. Protect and defend us, we pray. Capture our hearts with your grace. And drive out the fear that makes us compromise our values and draw back from challenges. Give us such confidence in your abiding care for us that we will live boldly and serve freely as you call us to serve. We thank you this day for the many answers to prayers we've already received and for the gift of long life with which you have blessed so many in our congregation. We thank you for the chance to celebrate with others when their goals are reached and their new adventures begin. We thank you for the faithfulness of family and friends and for the support of others in times of trial. We thank you for those who extend themselves to others, like our Adopt a Chaplain. We thank you for those who offer friendship and who speak words of wisdom. We thank you, God, for Marshall Steller's continued recovery. Hear our prayers today for the Vacation Bible School. and for our youth as they go on the houseboats. Hear our prayers for those who need healing of body and of spirit. Bind up broken hearts and drive away disease. Bring peace to those who are nearing the end of life and patience to those who are learning to live with chronic illness. Help those who are caught in the conflicts to think clearly and to remain committed to fairness, even when it seems to put them at a disadvantage. Help our leaders everywhere hear and respond to the people who are crying out for justice and for peace. And now, Lord, we fall silent before you, and we ask you to hear those prayers too deep for words. Guide and protect us, Lord. Care for and direct us, now and forever, we pray. And now, Lord, as our ushers come forward, we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I will be reading to you from the NIV version, Psalm 103. Oops. Won't be reading without these. Okay. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules for all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you. Well, if you've been coming to church at all for the last few weeks, you know we've been doing a series on the Psalms, and today we're going to look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, all right? Now, I don't know how many of you read the bestseller years ago called The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. Who knows at least about that book? Who wrote? Okay, so that came out a while ago. One of the things Blanchard talks about in his book is that leaders need to develop the practice of the one-minute praising technique, in which they are intentionally all about catching their employees doing something right. Okay? Now, we're all used to bosses, I'm sure, who like to sneak around, perhaps, and catch us at doing something wrong, and they're very quick to let us know about that, and how rare it is to be praised for something when we do it well. And Blanchard says in this book that once we catch them doing something right, it's important to give those employees a one-minute praising. Praise them for a whole 60 seconds right on the spot. Don't wait, he says, because waiting takes away the impact. So while they're doing something that they're supposed to be doing, you come in and you say, "Yay, you," and you go at it for 60 seconds. That's what he says is very effective. And it's more difficult when you try to put it in practice than it appears, because most of us are better at criticizing. I know this is true for me. Than praising. We're better at finding what's wrong with something or someone or something that they're doing than what's right with what they're doing. So catch anybody in our lives doing something right and praising them. What if we did that? It could revolutionize our marriages, right? Our parenting skills. We just don't ignore our kids while they're being good and then criticize them when they do something wrong. Instead, we praise them when they're doing something right. What a thought that would be. But the point here is that expressing our gratitude needs to be intentional, because we tend to be negative, Ken says. And he says if we don't intentionally make a choice to be grateful, right, for someone or something good that they're doing and praise them, often we will. And that's his whole point in the book. And in our relationship with God, I'm just going to take that now, to our relationship with God, it's the same way. We're apt to forget the benefits that surround us, forget about gratitude in our lives. You know, you go out of the door without it in the morning, come back in the evening grumbling because we're tired and worn down. And as Bob said this morning, we cease to be fully alive to what God is doing in our lives when we aren't filled with gratitude, when we forget the benefits that he's given to us, unless we are intentional about gratitude. Now, before we can intentionally improve our gratitude functioning, the first step is to assess where we are, right? So I'm going to help you all with your gratitude score today. And so here's a grumbling to gratitude scale. All right, now this is just an exercise between you and God, all right? Nobody's going to come and ask you to share up here, all right? But I want you to look at this scale and just choose a number. You know, 10 being the Tigger, you praise God all the time. You always remember all the benefits that he's given to you. You know, and 1 being you always see the glass half empty or it's completely empty, and one guy I asked didn't see any glass at all, and that would have been a negative 50 down there. But just choose a number, just between you and God. You know, take a minute. And of course, we all have bad days, right? And then we have good days. But in general, where do you think you fall on the gratitude scale? This morning, everybody have a number? Okay. You're not going to tell me if you've done this or not because it's that personal. All right, I get it. But this morning I want to improve your gratitude score, whatever it was. And I want you to come up at least one notch from where you are right now. And like those people, you know, who guarantee if you work with me, you'll improve your ACT, your SAT, your GRE score. So if you work with me a little this morning, I guarantee your score will improve. All right? So, if you brought it with you this morning, take out your right hand. Look at it. exercise it a bit because we're going to be using our right hand to do a gratitude workout in order to remember the five benefits that David mentioned at the beginning of Psalm 103. And that's going to be our focus. We're going to remember those five benefits. There's five things that he outlines for us. And this will be a chance for you to be at it, so you can be able to practice praising God for 1 minute. You may, if you know this really well, at the end of this sermon, you can do it probably in less than a minute, all right? Praising God for the five benefits so you don't forget them, all right? Now, these are benefits that David mentions that anybody in any situation can praise God for. Now, sometimes we get into a little bit of a circumstantial kind of gratitude, and there's some things, just some hard facts that can tweak your perspective a little bit, like if you can attend church this morning without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. And if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. 75%. And if you have money, in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change, in a dish someplace, we don't have it in a dish, we have it scattered all over, but you are among the top 8%. 8% of the world's wealthy. Now, all of that's important to remember. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? So it sort of tweaks our perspective. We have great benefits, you and I, by virtue of our lot in life. But in this psalm, David is talking about something a little bit different than life circumstances. Gratitude always gets a bit cheesy, doesn't it, when we start being grateful for the fact that we are more fortunate than others who are suffering, and that some people don't have what we have, and therefore we should be grateful for that. I mean, that doesn't quite add up for me. I think we should go out and change those circumstances. But the five benefits that David talks about totally adds up for gratitude. Because David is talking about benefits that come to those who trust in the Lord, regardless of life circumstances. Everybody wants a job with benefits, right? The perks, the supplements, what are they? Well, David tells us right here. Each of these five fingers, as I said, on your hand is going to represent one of those benefits. So by the time you leave church, you're going to know them. All right, the first benefit, let's get to this. In Psalm 103, that God gives to those who love and trust him is that he forgives our sins. Now, this, you may say, this is really gimmicky, and it is, all right? I'm just going to come right in. This is a gimmick, all right? But it works, so bear with me. All right, forgives our sins. Now, you may have heard that before. Yeah, you say, but I wonder how many of us have really received that truth deep down in the depths of who we are. Have you received that truth in your heart? When God says he forgives your sins, it means he doesn't remember. He doesn't hold a grudge. He's thrown away that checks and balances sheet. Today, if you ask for forgiveness from your heart, it's a new day, folks. There isn't anything in the past that you have done, no ways in which you have messed up, that God even remembers. And we're going to use the index finger right here to remember that benefit, okay? And the reason we're using the index finger is that often we start counting with the index finger, right? So it's the first benefit that David mentions. But also in the olden days, people used to tie a string around their finger to remember something. Did anybody ever do that? We don't do that with Siri and cell phones anymore, but maybe some of you have a string around your finger right now. I don't know. All right. But that's what used to happen in the old days when we wanted to remember something. And so what you can know is that God does not remember, all right, does not remember our sins. As far as the east is from the west, David goes on to say in Psalm 103, so far does he remove our sins from us. And David messed up a lot in his life. He really did. And he knew that this was true. He was speaking from his own experience. So let's take our index finger and point upward. Even though it's not polite to point, we can point up. Let's say together, you forgive my sins. You forgive my sins. That's benefit number one. Benefit number two, he heals all our diseases. And this doesn't mean that every time you pray, you're going to get well, right? Sometimes you do. Miracles happen. I remember standing by the bedside of someone who was in a coma. We prayed for that person, and she came out of the coma right after the prayer. Isn't that wonderful? We praised God for that, but it doesn't always happen that way. No. The promise, whether it happens in this life or in the next, is that God will one day restore our bodies to perfect health. Romans 8:23 says, we wait for the redemption of our bodies. So we're going to use the longest finger right here, the index finger. If you hold it up, which one is closest to heaven? It's the index finger, right? So we're going to use that one to remind ourselves that he heals all our diseases, and that those, if they aren't healed in this life, they'll be healed in the next when we get to heaven. So let's lift our hand up one more time and say together, he heals all my diseases. He heals all my diseases. Very good. That's benefit number two. Benefit number three, and this is a great one. He redeems my life from the pit. And we're going to use our thumb right here for that, because the thumb is kind of over here, kind of estranged, right, from the rest of the fingers. When you're in the pit, you feel as if you're cast off from God. You're far away from others. You're separated. I know what that feels like. I've shared that with some of you. I've been in the pit myself. But something else I also know is God specializes in the pit. He rescues the lamb that falls into the pit. He welcomes home the prodigal son who lives in the pit of a pigsty. Estranged, alone, outcast, God redeems us and brings us back. He's faithful to that end. So bring your thumb up next to your other two fingers, and let's say together, he redeems your life from the pit. Let's say that. He redeems your life from the pit. All right. You following with me? You got the three benefits so far? No? No? Do you need to review them? No? All right. We're going to keep going then. Benefit number four that David mentions in Psalm 103 is he crowns you with love and compassion. And that's going to be this finger right here, the ring finger, because on the other hand, what do? When we get married, we put the ring on that finger to symbolize love that's eternal, right? And that symbolizes human love and commitment. But God's steadfast love is stronger than any human love, of course. And the word here in Psalm 103 can actually be translated covenant love, which means it has nothing to do. God's love for us has nothing to do with what we deserve. It's all about who God is for us. And being crowned with love and compassion suggests that our identity as children of God, our calling, is found only when we truly recognize how much God loves us. And for those of you that went to family camp, you will understand when I say it's about coming to know our belovedness in Christ. We talked a lot about that at family camp. How strong that divine love is for us. God's love is an in spite of what we do love that goes to the cross for us when we don't deserve it. And the Psalm 103 goes on to say, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And friends, that's good news, because no matter how high you can imagine, God's love is greater. And no matter how far we try to explore the universe, And we have more tools and technology than ever before to plumb the depths of the universe that God made. And as we do this, the amazing thing is that we keep discovering more and more billions of galaxies upon galaxies, and it just keeps going as far as the universe stretches beyond our ability to measure it. So far is God's great love for you. So hold up your hand like this, and let's say verse 4b together. He crowns me with love and compassion. Let's say that. He crowns me with love and compassion. Good. Now, finally, we're on benefit number 5. All right? He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, can anybody guess what finger this is going to be? Only one left, right? I have a very small little pinky. My kids actually tease me about it. They say, oh my gosh, Mom, your pinky's so small. It's so weak. And I say, I can't help it. I was born that way. And then they leave me alone. But as a human being, I am generally weak. And the more that I advance in years, the weaker I feel. I bought a plaque the other day that says, the older I get, the better I was. This little finger, to me, represents weakness. Psalm 103:14 says, he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And still, despite that, he restores our strength. He restores our strength like the eagles. Now, how does an eagle fly? Does it flap viciously like a little sparrow trying really hard to get where it needs to go? An eagle goes most of its distance by soaring and learning how to ride those air currents. And when you look at the eagle, it almost seems like it's being effortlessly buoyed up, right? Knows how to ride the air currents. And as we mature in our faith, we learn how to ride the currents of the Holy Spirit. We learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We can say with Paul, you know, your strength is made perfect in my weakness, because I know it's not about me. I know it's about you, and you restore my strength like the eagles. So that's a marvelous promise. So when you look at that, I don't know, maybe you have a really strong pinky, but as I said, I don't. But when you look at that smallest finger on your hand, remember benefit number 5. Let's say it together. And you can say it like that. My youth is restored like the eagles, or renewed like the eagles. All right, so now you have a handful of benefits from Psalm 103. It says in Scripture, forget them not. All right, so let's do them one more time. 1, he forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with love and compassion. My youth is renewed like the eagles. All right? And my challenge to you is, for at least the next week or two, go through all 5 of these benefits at least 3 to 5 times a day. And I don't care where you are, in the grocery store, at the office, in the classroom, on a treadmill, in the shower, at the beach. You know, and if you feel like you're slipping into that Eeyore mode, all right, try it. Try it 3 to 5 times a day. Do a 1-minute intentional praising session to God. And I guarantee you, by doing this, by forgetting not his benefits, over time your gratitude score will go up. You will become alive to the goodness of God all around you. And by doing this intentionally, even when you don't feel like it, you will begin to find that the actual discipline of forgetting not God's benefits increases your ability to be grateful for other things as well. Your joy will increase. Your sense of God's presence will increase. You will find that God is faithful to you, too, to deliver these benefits in spades. And your ability to notice, as I said, all your benefits and will also be enhanced. And you will be able to cry out to the Lord from your inmost being, just like David did. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's pray together. Blessed God, we ask that you would help us to remember your benefits. Truly, they are things that we can be thankful for any day, all the time, because of your goodness, because of who you are. Thank you that you do not leave us alone. You give us great gifts. Bless us as we work to be a more grateful people. We thank you for your faithfulness in your promises to us, and that we can rely on your goodness in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
We can take all of these benefits to the bank, because underlying, surrounding, encompassing all of these benefits is the faithfulness of God.
As you remember God's benefits, may what that song talks about happen to you, that morning by morning, new mercies you see. So now go out in peace, have courage, hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.